Today's shiur is Masechta Midah Daf Yubeis, and we will begin at Daf Yubeis of an Aleph on the topic of Amud Bonyanei. In the previous shiur, we had learned in the Mishnah that the halacha is that a woman who is a sukkah b'taharis, a woman who is involved in taharis, has to do many bedikas. They have to do bedika every morning and every evening, and as we also learned, they have to do bedika before and after tashmish. Begins our Gemara to discuss a woman who's not a sukkah b'taharis, a woman who is not involved with taharis. What about her doing bedika? So they said, most mafarshim explained that the Gemara's question is a woman who's not a sukkah b'taharis and therefore is not mandated to do bedika. May she do bedika before she has relations with her husband? There are mafarshim, the lechem v'simla, who suggest that the Gemara's question here is regarding a woman who is a sukkah b'taharis, and the Gemara's question is that may she be machmer to do her bedika immediately before the bia. Because the Mishnah doesn't indicate that it has to be done right before the bia, and the Gemara's question is, should she be machmer to do the bedika right before the bia? But again, we're going to learn the Gemara that we're speaking about a regular woman. Could she do bedika right before bia? Amalei, so he responded, lo tivdik, she should not. Ask the Gemara, tivdik, amabikach. Why shouldn't she do bedika? She wants to be machmer, if she wants to be careful to do bedika before, why not? So the Gemara, in Ken Libay night for parish. Now, there is a reason that she shouldn't do the bedika, because we're concerned that if her husband sees his wife doing bedika, it may cause him not to have relations with his wife. And the Rishonim give a number of explanations in this Gemara. One explanation they give is that if a husband sees his wife doing bedika right before the bia, he's going to assume that it's very likely that she thinks that she's tamei. Otherwise, why would she be doing a bedika? And that will cause him not to have relations with his wife. But ask those very same Rishonim. But she's doing the bedika. So the fact that she does the bedika and comes out fine, shouldn't that calm him to show him that she's indeed tahor? Answer the mefarshim. What the husband is going to be concerned is that the wife perhaps did the bedika because she indeed has a legitimate concern that she's tameh. And she did a bedika and it came out clean. Perhaps there was a drop of blood that got covered up, but really she's tummy. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give is based on the question if when does she have to check her bedika cloth? And then Mefarshim would suggest that she only has to check her bedika cloth after, not today, the bee is being done at night, and she only checks it tomorrow. But the husband will be concerned what are the results of that bedika, and perhaps that bedika is turned out that she is indeed tamei, and therefore he will not want to do bia, not knowing the results of that bia, that bedika. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we know, and we're going to discuss it, the halacha is that the bedika has to be done b'chur v'sadokim. It has to be a very carefully done bedika. And what here, he's going to be concerned is that since she's anxious to do tashmish, perhaps she did not do the bedika as carefully as she should have done the bedika. And because of that, the husband will be libay noik for your parish. However, say the paiskim, if the entire concern is that the husband is libay noikfay upayrish, So if she does the bedika not in the presence of her husband, so we have no reason to have this concern. And then the halacha would be that indeed the wife may do the bedika. Not only may she do bedika, one can maybe make an argument that she should do bedika. Furthermore, the Pais Masei, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says this, that if the husband tells her to do the bedika, the entire reason the Gemara is saying that she shouldn't do the bedika is because the husband will be concerned. But if the husband is the one that told her to do the bedika, then on the contrary, there is no reason to have that concern. And there are Paiskim that suggest that in those circumstances, not only may she do the bedika, but she's actually obligated to do the bedika. Because if she doesn't do the bedika, then the husband is going to start thinking, I told her to do the bedika, why isn't she doing the bedika? Maybe she has something to be concerned about, maybe she has something to hide, and then not only may she do the bedika, but actually she should do the bedika then before the bia. Now ask the Gemara, Bamina Rab Abba Mrafuna, Ishima Shadivdik Atma Kishivesa Tidei L'chai Baal Achatus. The definition of the word kishir vesed here is very different than our typical interpretation. Usually, when we have the Gemara using the word kishir vesed, it means the vestis. We're going to have it later in our shiur today. Here, kishir vesed means immediately. And the question here that the Gemara is posing is that perhaps a woman, right after having done bia, should debaidik herself immediately to see if she has any ria, any dam, because if she does, then her husband will be chayiv chatas. So one question the Mefarshim asked is, how could she ever be chayiv chatas? We've discussed this numerous times in our shiurim, that the halacha is that a woman is not tamei midaraisa unless there was a hargasha. Here she didn't have a hargasha, so how could there be a chayiv chatas? So to which the Mefarshim answer that here we will attribute that there was indeed a chargosha. Why doesn't she know about it? Because perhaps she got confused between the chargosha of the tashmish and the chargosha of the bia. But there indeed was chargosha. But then the Mefarshim asked a number of questions. One question that they ask is, we're only concerned that perhaps she was a nida when they had bia. And the halach is that if somebody has relations with his wife when she's a nida, there's a chiv chatas. So the Farshim asks why, that the chiv chatas is not only on the husband. The chiv chatas is on the wife as well. So why are we only thinking about the husband and not thinking about the wife's chatas? So the Ritva, and the Noid Behuda in fact, quotes this Ritva, says, because the halach is that if a wife is chayiv a karban chatos, the halacha is that the husband has to pay for it. So yes, the Gemara is referring not only to his chayiv chatos, but to her chayiv chatos as well. But her chayiv chatos will be paid by the husband. But Rav Mefarshim give a different answer, but they first ask a question. Why would there be here a chayiv chatos at all, they ask? If indeed she saw them, they were honest. They didn't in any way do anything wrong. And there's never a chiv carbon when there is an honest. And therefore the Taisus Rosh and other Rishonim say what the Gemara doesn't mean. The Gemara doesn't mean to say here that they would actually be obligated to bring a carbon chatas. For as we just explained, there is no it's an honest, and there is no reason to bring a carbon chatas. What the Gemara means to say is that she would be tamei, and somebody who's tamei, if she has relations with her husband, then there's a chiyuv chatas. And therefore we can understand why the Gemara is only focused on him and not on her. Because she, if she sees dam, is certainly tamei. So there's no question what her status is. The question in the Gemara here is regarding his status. And the Gemara is saying that if she turns out to have dam, then it turns out that she is tamei, and therefore he is tamei also if she had dam and he had a bia with her. Amalei, to which Rav Huna responded, Mimishkachas lo lebedika kisheveset, is it possible to do the bedika so quickly? V'tanya, have we not learned in a brisa? Eze sheveset, what is the definition of a bia being done, a bedika being done immediately? Moshul shamash ve'eid, like the, it's a to be understood, like the bia, the aver, and the cloth, sh'oim the mitzara mashkel, that stand right next to each other. B'tzias ha'shamash nechnes eid, one is done immediately after the other. V'veset, v'veset shamru, this is the veset that was discussed, l'kinuch v'leil bedika, that it's impossible to do a bedika immediately. So in other words, what he's saying is, how can we discuss that there should be a chiv bedika? It's impossible to do bedika immediately anyway. Why is it impossible to do the bedika immediately? So there are a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that it's hard to believe that a couple would be holding the cloth as they're doing the bia. And since it's hard to believe that they will be holding the cloth as they're doing the bia, so the time it takes to pick up the cloth after the bia is already after the time which is identified as immediately. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that a proper bedika, as we said a few moments ago, involves doing a bedika in the churim and the sedakim. And it's impossible to do that type of a thorough bedika immediately after the bia. Another pshat that I saw is that the halacha is that after a husband finishes doing the bia, he should wait until there's aver mace. So that involves a pause between the bia and the bedika, and therefore the bedika cannot be done immediately, because. And therefore, the Gemara, where Rav Huna is saying is, what's your question? That she do a bedika? The bedika can't be done anyway. Says the Gemara, you're right. A bedika cannot be done immediately after the bia. However, my question is, ma'asha tekaneich, maybe she should wipe herself, which can be done immediately. And if they'll wipe themselves and they'll see this dam, it was a raya that she's tummy. But then says the Gemara, ikadamri, there's a different version. Hachi bar minei, that this is the question. Absolutely, the Gemara understands that there would not be a chiv, there can never be a bedika done immediately that would bring a chiv chatas. But we know that whenever somebody has a question, if they did an aver for which there's a chiv chatas, and they don't know, they have to bring a karban ashim talun. And what the Gemara here means is that maybe she should do a bedika, and even though that bedika cannot be completely conclusive to tell us if she's tummy enough or not, it could, but if we see that there's dam, there'll be a chiyuv oshim talu. When we learned Masechta Krisis, and in other Masechtas as well, we've learned that there's a machloikis, when is there a chiyuv oshim talu? One opinion holds that there's a chiyuv oshim talu if somebody doesn't know if he did an aveira or not, that there's a chiv chattis. He doesn't know if he ate a piece of meat, and he doesn't know if it's kosher or not kosher. That's called chaticha achas. But we've learned that there are opinions that hold that you're only chayiv on Ashm Toli by chaticha achas mishtei chatichas, which means that there were two pieces of meat. One was kosher and one wasn't, and the person doesn't know which piece of meat did he eat, the kosher one or the non-kosher one. So ask the Mefarshim, over here, there are no shtei chatichas. There's only chaticha achas. So how could there be a chiv oshim toli? So according to those opinions, that you have to have shtei chatichas, explained the Mefarshim, we'll have to say, like we said a little earlier, what the Gemara here means is not to say that there would be a certain chiv oshim toli, because it's not shtei chatichas. It only means that this is an aveira for which there is potentially a Noshim Tali, similar to the tariff that we gave regarding when the Gemara used the word Chiyiv Chatz. So the question is, should she do this Bedika after the Biyu or not? Amaloi, to which Rav Huna said, like Tibdak, she should not. Ask the Gemara, why not? The Tibdak of Mavikach, why shouldn't she do it? Answers the Gemara in Kein Libay Noit Fei Parish. If the husband sees that his wife is doing bedikas right after the bia, he's going to be concerned that maybe she had a hagasha. He's going to be concerned that who knows what's happening here, and in the future he will not want to have relations with his wife because of these concerns. Says the Gemara, Ubishashi Averis, we learned that the woman in our Mishnah, besides having to do bedika every morning and every evening, should also do bedika when she's having relations with her husband. Says the Gemara, Amr Ami Amr Bianai, Vzeh Ibn Shal Tznus. A woman who does this bedika is called a Tznua. Amalei Rav Abba Bamamal Rav Ami, Tana Tana Tzriches. The Mishnah said that this bedika is obligatory. That Tana Tznus. How do you just call it snooze? She's obligated to do it. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Shani Oimer, for I say, Kol Makayim Divrei Chachamim Nikut Snua. I hold that whoever follows what Chazal said should be considered in the category of Tznua. And as the Rishonim explained, why specifically here did Chazal choose to teach us that somebody who follows their rules is called Tznua? So Rishonim explained, we are referring here to a woman who has done bedika in the morning and is doing bedika in the evening and is doing bedika after the Tashmish. So doing all of these bedikas, the question is, doing another bedika right before the bia seems to be totally superfluous. And therefore, the person who does this bedika certainly is to be considered a tznua. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Amalei, v'she'en makayim divrei chachamim. What we extrapolate from your statement is, v'she'en makayim divrei chachamim, if somebody doesn't follow what Chazal said, tznua hu d'loy mikri. So he won't be in the category of tznua, v'rosh loy mikri, but that won't make him into rasha. If he doesn't follow what Chazal mandated, he's not just not a tznua, he's actually a rasha. Ela marava. Tznuas, what he meant to say is like this. The tznuas, achabot ku'atzma l'fnei tashmizu, the aid, the piece of cloth that they use to do a bedika with before one tashmish, ain't baitis by l'fnei tashmish acher, they never reuse that examination cloth. The she'ainet tznuas, but the women who are not tznuas, baitis reuse the examination cloth for loyach b'slam. And here too, the mefarshim explain. All women could reuse their cloth. However, a tznua, the cloth that's used before tashmish, that cloth will not be reused. And the reason that cloth will not be reused is because since this is the cloth that's being used right before tashmish, we need to be concerned that because of the anticipation of the tashmish that's about to take place, there is secretion of liquid from her body. So a woman who is careful, who's a tznua, won't reuse that examination cloth. Other women aren't machma. But when it comes to other examinations, when we don't have this consideration, we don't have this concern about secretions from the body, everybody reuses the cloth. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amr of Zera, Amr of Abba, Bayimia, Amr Shmuel, Isha Shein Levest. As we've discussed, there are two types of women. There's a woman who has a vest of kavua, that has a specific time when she expects a period. And there's a woman that doesn't have a vest of kavua, isha she'en li vest. So says the Gemara, a woman that doesn't have a vest of kavua, asur l'shamish, may not have relations with her husband, until she does a bedika. Amar Rav Zeira, Rav Abba ben Meirya, ein li vest. Is that to, are we to understand that what you mean to say is that only a woman who doesn't have a vest kavua, boy bedika, hayesh le vesed, but if she has a vesed kavua, loy boy bedika, but that isn't true. Because as we learned in the Mishnah in our previous year, the Mishnah began with the words, apish omrudayashata, and the way we explained those words was that even though Chazal said that a woman who has a vesed kavua, so our Mishnah clearly is referring to a woman who has a vessel kavur, Chazal said that even though such a woman dayashata still is obligated to do bedika. So how could you suggest, asked the Gemara, that a woman who has a vessel kavur is not obligated to have a bedika? Amalei, so we explain as follows. Yeshli vessel, a woman who has a vessel kavur, Eira, if she's awake by bedika, she has to have bedika before she has relations with her husband. And again, we have to emphasize this halacha is regarding the din of taharis. Lo yishena, but if she's sleeping, lo by bedika, then she won't have to have bedika. Whereas eilo vesed, if it's a woman that doesn't have a vesed kavua, such a woman, bein eira bein yishena, whether she's up or whether she's sleeping, by bedika, she's going to have bedika. So Tysus asked the question that the halacha is that one is not allowed to have relations with his wife when she's sleeping. So how does the Gemara speak here about the woman of who has? How does the Gemara speak here about the woman who is having relations? How they're having relations when she's sleeping? So Tysus says two truths. One truth Tysus says is that our Gemara here is not focused on that issue. Indeed, this person is doing the wrong thing, for one should not have relations with his wife when she's sleeping, but that isn't the focus of our Gemara. Another teretz that Taisu suggests is that when the halacha is that one should not have relations with his wife when she's sleeping, is only when she's completely asleep. But when she's somewhat up and somewhat asleep, then relations may take place. But the Mishnah, the Gemara here is teaching us that if she's a woman who has a vesed kavua, even with speaking about a sukkah b'taharis, Chazal in such a case waived the need to have a bedika before the bia. I saw a very interesting question. Why does the halacha that clearly one should not have relations with his wife when she's sleeping? But why does the halacha if one did have relations with his wife when she's sleeping? And Baruch Hashem, from that act, a child was conceived. Are you mekayim mitzvahs puruvu through having relations when you are sleeping? So it's interesting to note that the Shailos Hatshuvos Shailos Yavetz suggests that not. You can't be mekayim a mitzvah. You cannot be. We cannot consider you having fulfilled the mitzvah when you were not awake. However, most poskim are of the opinion that of course you're mekayim the mitzvah. Just like they say, when we speak about Hilchos Nidah, when a person goes to the mikvah, so the halacha is that one is, if one goes to the mikvah, even if there was no kavana, it's considered that they're still tahor. Or, we learned in Masech the Yevamis, that if Yevam has relations with his wife, with his Yevama, as soon as they have relations, even if they were totally unintentional, still they were mekayim the mitzvah sivam. Similarly here, even if there were no intention, the halacha is that there would be mekayim mitzvah sivam. Amar Rava, says Rava, v'leimalei, why doesn't he give a different answer? Yesh leveset, a woman who has a veset kavua, letaharis, if she's a woman who's a sukkah v'taharis, boy b'dika. If she's not a woman who's a sukkah l'taharis, and the entire point is to be able to have relations with her husband, the halacha is l'baal loy boy b'dika. But a woman who ain't l'veset, that doesn't have a veset kavua, the halacha would be afil l'baal and nami boy b'dika. Why doesn't he interpret that way the statement that was made? Says the Gemara, umid loy amalei hachi, since he didn't interpret that statement that way, from here we could see that Shmuel is of the opinion that kolabala, that if the purpose, if they are not makbid on taharis, and all by all women, the halacha is loy by bedika, that bedika would not be required. Tarabon says the Braisa, chamar mepalim, donkey drivers and workers, vaboyim beisa ovel and beisa mishta, or people that come from visiting an oval or from a party, the shame lehem becheskes tara. Their wives are considered tar, Oboim v'shoyimimon, and they may therefore have relations with them. Bein yishenes bein aris, whether if they're asleep or they're up. However, says the Braisa, v'medvar mamurim, when was that said? Shenicham v'cheskes tara, only if they, when they left, they had a cheskes tara. Ava nicham v'cheskes tuma, if when they left, they had a cheskes tuma, then the halacha is loyal mitmeya, the wife is tamei to them, and shetaymaloi, until she explicitly says to them, tahayrani. And as we mentioned in our previous year, there are many achronim that say she doesn't have to explicitly say to him, tahayrani, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, that as long as she behaves in a manner which demonstrates that she's not anida, she hands him something, or she hugs him, the halacha would be that that's equivalent to saying tahayrani. The Chavistas disagrees. The Chavistas says that, as the Gemara seems to say, she has to explicitly say to him that she's tahor. The Badei HaShulchan explains that the Chavistas takes this position because we need to be concerned that maybe the wife momentarily forgot that she's tamei, and therefore, even though her actions point that she considers herself tar, he must hear from her explicitly that she went to the mikvah. The Lachem is similar, says that the Chavis Das is only referring to a situation like we mentioned in our Braisa, where the husband was away from home. But in an ordinary case, where the husband is home and knows that his wife was preparing to go to the mikveh, and he could assume that she is tar if she conducts herself in a manner that indicates that she's tar. Because since he was home and he didn't hear that there was anything preventing her from going to the mikveh, he could assume that she went to the mikveh. So Mefarshim asks, why did the Braisa have to go into the case of all these people? What's the difference where they're coming from? So one pshat that I saw the Mefarshim say, the Ran says, that we're going to learn in a few moments that the husband has to be meratz, the husband has to show the wife that he wants to have relations with her. And the Gemara is coming to teach us that even a husband that didn't travel far away has to show his wife that type of feeling before they have bia. Ask the Gemara, V'ha Shmuel v'may mukala, how will Shmuel interpret this braisa? Ibi yesh levesed, if we're going to say the braisa is referring to a woman that has a vesed kavua, kasha aro. The Gemara, as we're trying to point out, is assuming that the Braisa is referring to an individual, to people who are makran taharis. Because otherwise we could have said that the Braisa is not talking about that type of individual. But we're trying to point out that the Gemara is clearly assuming that the Braisa is speaking about somebody who's makran taharis. And again, they say the Rai is, because it says it's talking about chamorim, people who carry loads, etc. And usually such individuals are very careful to be makbid on taharis because they're transporting material for all sorts of individuals. And since they're transporting it for all sorts of individuals, we're talking about people who are makbid on taharis. So now the Gemara makes its point. If we're referring to a person who's makbid on taharis, even if the woman has a vesed kavua, kasha era, we learned in our Mishnah, and even with the pshatim that we've been learning in today's shir, that a woman who has a vesed, even if she has a vesed kavua, but if she's a sukkah b'taharis and she's awake, you have to do a bedika. V'ish eloi vesed, and if the braisa is speaking about a woman who doesn't have a vesed kavua, then the question is even more difficult. Kasha bein era bein yishena. Such a woman is obligated to do bedika whether she's awake or she's asleep. Yet this braisa doesn't require a bedika. Answer the Gemara, The braisa is referring to an individual who has a vessel of war, the kibbutz shetava, and refers to a situation that he showed her that he's anxious to have be with her, as we just said a moment ago, because that is what they're supposed to do. A husband is supposed to show his wife before the bia that that's what he's interested in doing. And that's why, that is the equivalent of a bedika. That the husband, by showing this, she will not accept his overtures unless she was indeed make sure to be clean, that she had a bedika. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Ma'alem Evekamis Nisa. Can we follow this psak? So there's a number of pshatim. What is the Gemara's question? One question is, Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is, do you have to do bedika or tfiya, or is nothing required? Most Rishonim I ever learned that the Gemara's question is that we just learned a chiddush that tfiya could take the place of bedika, and the Gemara's question is, can we accept that lahalocha? Omle Rapapa L'Rava, Ma'ala Mevika Masnisa, Omle Sudni. The two pshatim in what the word sudni means. One pshat sudni means that he was a beer maker. That was Rav Papa's profession. Another pshat is sudni is from the word, from the pasuk Soid Hashem L'Reyayov. Rav Papa, he was a Talmud Chacham, and he's a person who Soid Hashem L'Reyayov. He could understand people's human nature. Loi the Mustagnet Atri. She should not examine herself because that could cause her to become repulsive to her, become repulsive to him. Rather, he should rely on tefillah. So what we're saying here is, just the way Moshe Rishon explained the Gemara, that the woman, the Gemara is saying not only can we rely on tefillah, but actually that tefillah is preferable, because by doing tefillah, we accomplish the halachic requirement, but it doesn't involve doing a bedika, and by not doing bedika, it will be more pleasant in the relationship between the husband and the wife. Says the Gemara, Amar Kahana, Shaltena Linchi Beisei Dera Papa Dera Funaberi Yeshua. I asked the family members, the wives, the family members of Rav Papa and Funaberi Yeshua, Kiyosar Bar Mbei Rav. When your husband would come home from yeshiva, matzur chul bedika, would he require a bedika? In other words, as we started today's shir, all of the bedikas that they had in their times was not for taharas. Because in the time of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, there were no taharas. The question was, were they still mapped that when they came home from to have relations with their wife, that the wife should do bedika? Matzachol bedika, did they require you to do bedika? V'amalei, and they said, loy, our husbands will not make us do a bedika. Ask the Gemara, v'lashinu l'vidu, why don't they ask the husbands directly? Why did he go ask their wives? Answer the Gemara, dilma anu kamachmer anavshayim. So the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. He was concerned, Rav Kahana was concerned, that these people were personally stringent, but they're not going to tell other people to follow their personal chumras, their personal stringencies. So if he was going to ask them directly, they would very likely not tell him that they were machmer. Their wives, however, did not recognize this. So the wives are just going to tell him what actually happened. And from here we see, say, the Paiskim, that if someone is personally machmer, even if a Rav is personally machmer in any type of a shayla, when it comes to discuss it with other people, he doesn't have to advertise or mention his personal chumrah. Not only does he not have to mention it, he perhaps shouldn't, which is really an interesting question, because there's a famous Maram Rutenberg, that the Maram Rutenberg says that a pidin, on Pesach, we could be lenient with kalim, with the meat, the kasha kalim of nois and tam with gam. But if somebody comes to a rav to ask a shayla about such a keli, he should tell him that it's fine, but that there's a point to being machmer. From our Gemara, it seems that there's no need to tell a person that there's an issue in being machmer. So, the Paiskim say that it's a question. If a Rav, when he's asked the question, should just say kosher treif, or if there's a point in being machmer, should the Rav say so or not? But one thing that I saw that the Shail for Tshuvas, that Tzela Chochma says, that even though that what a person certainly should not do is misli, which means as follows. Let's say someone gives a heksher, he discusses. And Alpidin, the food that he's giving a heksher to is kosher, but he's relying on a legitimate heter, on bittel, or whatever heter. So he doesn't have to say, he doesn't have to necessarily advertise that he relied on a heter. But on the other hand, says the Shalos Tshuvas B'Tzela Chochma, he should not call that food mahadrin when he knows that there was certain heterim that he had to rely on to give the heksher. Rashi gives a different pshat, a very interesting pshat, that Rav Kahana's concern was just the opposite. That maybe these people would be machmer to him, but for themselves, they're not machmer. Which of course the Chasam Sofer and many Mefarshim find very difficult to understand. That a person is machmer for the rest of the world, and for himself, he's not machmer. How do we understand such behavior? Explains the Chasam Sofer with the concept that we began today's shir. We began our shir with the concept of Liba Noitfai. So maybe, explains the Chasam Sofer, these Talmidei Chachamim, because they were such Yirei Shemayim, were concerned for Liba Noitfai. And because they were concerned for Liba Noitfai, they told their wives, don't do bedikas, because if we're going to see you doing bedikas, it's going to prevent us from doing beer with you. But that's only us that we have this Liba Noitfai. Everyone else could perhaps do beer with their wives, because they're not in the category of people who will be Liba Noitfai. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbani, Isha Shein Leves. If we have a woman who doesn't have a Veset Kavua, Asur L'Shamish, she can't have relations with her husband. Veinlo, and because she has no Veset Kavua, and her husband can't have relations with her, he has to divorce her. The Rishayim say that we were referring here to a woman who never had a Veset Kavua. But if we have a woman who had a Veset Kavua, and then afterwards, during the course of their marriage, she lost that Veset Kavua, such a woman, these halachas don't apply. We say then it's the husband's bad luck. But if a woman never had a Veset Kavua, the halacha is ein lo ksuba. We know that when a couple gets divorced, the husband's obligated to give his wife a ksuba. Here, he doesn't have to give a ksuba. V'loy peiros. So the way most Rishonim explain what peiros means is that when a wife, when they got married, we know a wife could bring into the marriage nichsei melug and nichsei tzoyim barzel. The nichsei tzoyim barzel are different assets that we evaluate their value at the time of the marriage, and when the marriage ends, the husband has to give that value to the wife. Nichsei melug is the other assets that the husband gets to eat the peiros. Here, what the Brice is teaching us is that if the husband ate peiros in the course of their marriage, he doesn't have to compensate her, he doesn't have to pay her for the peiros that he ate. Others explain that the halacha is that the husband is entitled to eat peiros, and in return, should she chas v'shalom be kidnapped, he has to pay ransom. That doesn't apply here. V'loy belos. Belos means that she brought clothing into the marriage, and he used and wore that clothing. He doesn't have to pay for that use. There's a machlokes v'shalom if there are clothing left, does she take it, or that also remains with him? V'yotzi, and he divorces her, v'lo machzor elamis, and he never could take it back. The Rishonim explained v'lo machzor elamis, that even if she becomes old, and now there's no reason to be concerned that she'll be roya, that she'll have dam during tashmish, because she's already an old woman, they may not even when she's older. Why indeed do we have to be machmer even when she's older? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because Chazal made this rule and they didn't want to make an exception to the rule. Another pshat that I saw is that since this woman, at least in the times of Chazal, was not your typical woman, so therefore Chazal said that even though she's a zakena, we don't know what this woman, how this body, woman's body could react, and therefore and Rishonim say, because this is Rameya that we find throughout Shas, that's Chai Shlomitoy, and since it's, even though she's a woman that doesn't have a vessel kavua, still not necessarily that she's going to have a discharge during the Bia, but Rameya is Chai Shlomitoy, there is that possibility, and that's why he takes this very serious point, takes this very severe position. Rechanina men, Tignas Oimer, Mishamesh B'Shnei Eidim, she should do B'di Bia before and after the Bia, Hein Hein V'Sua, Hein V'Tikuna. And these clauses will either make things bad for her or good for her. If she has Dam, so it's a proof that she has an issue. If she doesn't, then she's fine. Mishum Abachanan Amra Oyle Labala. And the Gemara will explain his opinion in a moment. So first the Gemara goes back to the opinion of Rameya. Asur L'Shamish. They may not have relations. For as we explained, since this woman doesn't have a vested kavur, we need to be concerned Dilma Makalkale, that during their act, she will have a discharge and he will have done Bias Nida. Veile Ksuba, she's not entitled to Ksuba, Kivin de Lechazi Labiya, because since she's a woman that her husband can't have relations with, less like Ksuba, she's not entitled to have a Ksuba. Veile Peris, Veile Mizonis, Veile Belos, because says the Gemara, the Tanai Ksuba, all of these rules are the Tanai Ksuba, and the Aloha is Tanai Ksuba, Ksuba Gom. The Yoitz, Veile Yachsa Elamis, ask the Gemara, Pshita, he can't take her back. Because if he had to divorce her, for whatever reason he had to divorce her, that reason remains. Answers the Gemara, Le'tzricha d'hada v'sakna. We're referring to a situation where a woman, after the divorce, Baruch Hashem, did get a vesed kavur. Maratem lahadra. So maybe now he could remarry her, if she didn't marry anyone else in between. Kamashmon, that's why we have to the Brisa teaches us that he may not. Because what if we need to be concerned, says the Gemara, the Zimel does Azlo Matzva Masakna. One time, maybe she will marry someone else, and with her second marriage, everything will be fine. And she'll have a Vesa Kavua, and they'll have a great marriage. Vama, and then the husband will say, Ili Hayisi Adesh Kachayu, were I aware that she, Baruch Hashem, could establish herself fine, I feel I used Nisman Meimana, if you've given me a fortune, well, Yisi Magasha, I would have never divorced her. Nimsa get bubble. So then he's going to say that the get is bubble. Because he's saying, I only gave the get under the assumption that she has a problem, but she doesn't have a problem. Or he'll say that the entire get was given under duress, and therefore the get should not be considered a valid get, and she therefore is an Eish HaSish that got married to another man, who her children therefore Rahman Sok could be Mamzeim. So we say that your marriage is over forever, and therefore we need not have that concern. The Braisa quoted, the Braisa said, Mishum Abachaner Amr Oyle Rabala. Ikad Amri L'Ramei Amala. He was saying it's Rameya. And what he's saying to Rameya is, yes, they have to get divorced, but I'm not going to take your position. I will take, they have to get divorced, but he has to pay the Ksuba. Why? Didn't the Gemara just say that a woman that can't have relations with a husband is not entitled to Ksuba? So the Rishonim explained that as we've been mentioning many times, a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. And what the machlokes between Abu Chanan and Rameyu is, if during this woman who doesn't have a vesed kavua, but as we've been learning, a woman during the 11 days of Ziva doesn't see dam. So Abu Chanan says, they need not get divorced, because they can always have relations during those 11 days, and therefore she's entitled to the ksuba. Rameyu says, that isn't, since they can't have relations other times, they should never have relations, and therefore she's not entitled to the ksuba. However, Ikad Amri, Rav Chanina ben Tignes Kamala, he was addressing Rav Chanina ben Tignes, because he says, the Makalkala slave, where he's saying is Oyla Labala, that the, even if the cloth shows no dam before the Biyah, but maybe something will happen during the Biyah, and she'll be Makalkalan. Amar Behuda, Amishwal, Halach Rav Chanina ben Tignes, that as long as she's tar, the Halach is, she can have relations with her husband if she does bedika before and after the relations. Ask the Gemara B'mai, what type of woman are we referring to? Iba sukat taris, hamish shmul chadazimna. Hasn't Shmuel said already that such a woman is obligated to do bedikas? Bibi she'ena sukat taris, hamu'ula kalabala, if the entire relationship is just a relationship of husband and wife having relations, then loy boy bedika. Don Rav Zera Amar Abba Yimei Amar Shmuel, Ishi She'en Leves, Asula Sham Shechativdik. The Kimna, we've explained, the Sukkah B'Taharis. So why does the same halacha have to be repeated? Answer to Gemara, Ma'adim Masmucho, Ma'asmucho. Indeed, only one of them was mentioned, we're not exactly sure which. So here we have a very interesting shaila as we end the sugya. What is indeed the halacha with a woman who has no veset kavua? Rashi paskins, as it seems that the Gemara is saying, that if in our world where we're not a suka b'taharis, the halacha is that she doesn't have, we have nothing to be concerned about, and she doesn't have to do anything. The Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh, they all paskin that she has to do bedika before and after Tashmish. The Rif paskins, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that such a woman, such a couple, should do bedikas before and after Tashmish, and by doing bedika in those three times, she becomes muhzekis, that she's not a Roya Dam Machmas Tashmish, and then they're fine, and they need not do bedikas anymore. However, the Chasam Sofer says, these bedikas that we just mentioned that they should do to establish themselves should be done only in a time when we know, we don't know exactly her status. But let's say, like we just mentioned, the 11 days, or the days that we know for sure that she never sees them. Doing bedikas during those times is not considered a valid bedika, because we know for sure she won't see dam in that time. Not everybody agrees with the Chasam Sofer. On the other hand, there's a Trumas Hadeshin that takes a very strict approach, and the Trumas Hadeshin approach is that if a woman doesn't have a vested kavua, but there are 2-3 days that she does always have rias, they should never have relations during those specific days, that we know that those 3 days are the days that she's always going to ultimately get her period. Rav Ozner, in the Shailos HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, says that, as we just quoted the Rif in the Shulchan Aruch, that this couple should do bedikas 3 times to establish that everything is fine. He says that the bedikas do not have to be done l'chatchila, perhaps they should be done that way, but the bedikas are considered valid bedikas even if they weren't done consecutively. As long as there were 3 bedikas done, even they didn't represent 3 consecutive bias, and during all 3 of those bedikas, everything was fine, that couple is fine, she's established that she's not a Roya Dam Machmas Tashmish, and they could remain happily married. Hanun Loch Shamei Oymar, Hanun Loch Shamei Oymar, Hanun Loch Shamei Oymar.